And on the phone, while we were just sitting around here listening to music, Martin, you there? Did I lose you? Martin Holly calling Martin. Hey, Martin. I think he's right in that spot.
Hello.
Are you back?
Yes, hello. How are you, Steve?
I appreciate you making the call. I know that you're busy and you're traveling now on your way to Cincinnati, which is right across the river from where I sit as I do this broadcast. You're going to be tonight at the Irish Heritage Center on Eastern Avenue in Cincinnati. And you've been very busy on your American tour. And I know you're coming up from what, Nashville now?
Yeah, we're on our way up from Nashville. We've had a great run so far. We started off the tour in up in Dublin, Ohio. And we traveled up towards the Milwaukee Irish Fest. So that was the first part of the tour in the northern part of the Midwest. And then the second leg started in Kansas City. And we've been traveling the last week and a half now. And we're just coming to Cincinnati tonight. So we're very excited about that one.
Oh, it's great. And I will be there. I bought my tickets last week. I told you on the phone earlier that we were there. Our daughter was in a play. And I said, this is like an interesting group, and did some research. And I'm going to be there tonight. So I can't wait to see the band live. Been playing and have available to me Roots of the Banjo Tree. Is that the latest one that we have available?
That's our debut album. We recorded it less than a year ago, actually. The band kind of had its genesis about 3 or 4 years ago, where myself, David, my brother, and Enda Scott, which all three of us play tenor, banjo, guitars, and mandolins, etc. So we started playing together, and we were kind of excited and interested about the idea of the banjo, and traced its roots from Africa through to America, and then the influence of the immigration to Ireland, and then that influence going back again into bluegrass and old time. So the music is very well linked, and the banjo is kind of the common thread between all of those musics. And so we were kind of exploring that route, and then when we recorded the album, we realized that we'd need a real musician in the band. So we had Fergus Gall and his brother join us. So now it's a band of brothers, two sets of brothers, and it's been going really well. We've had a great year thus far. We've been playing all over Europe. We come out here, and this is our fifth week in the States, and our fifth week out of seven. So we've had a load of gigs over here, and the success and the response has been amazing. More than we expected, so we've been really delighted.
You must get a great reaction from audiences, American audiences, not just interested in Irish, but there's bluegrass people out there too. Because as you have traced the banjo on your own method from Africa to Ireland, well, then you know clearly that the whole banjo sound that we adopt here in this bluegrass field comes directly from the Irish and Scottish tunes and all that type of music. In addition to the African influence,
From even interacting with bluegrass musicians, we've noticed that we have the same tunes that they have. They might have a different name, and there might be a different emphasis within them, but there's just that common thread of the melody is there. And just the way we approach the music is different, but it's been a real eye-opening experience for us to kind of blend the two and see how they work. And yeah, definitely, I mean, we've had an awful lot of great bluegrass players come along to gigs and just be really excited and switched on about the idea of the Irish music and the bluegrass music. So I think it's going to be the start of something good for us in terms of interaction with the bluegrass players.
Oh, it has to be. It has to be. In the first half hour I played, you have a medley on this new album, or new to me at least, the most recent Roots of the Banjo Tree, where you start out with Bill Cheatham. And, of course, that's a fiddle tune that because of guys like Bill Keith, we've all adopted to five-string banjo styles.
Yeah. I mean, we kind of that set there traces the roots backwards, so it goes there's Bill Cheatham's, which is obviously, as you said, a real bluegrass standard, and then we go into an old time tune called Kitchen Girl, and then the final tune in that set is a very modern Irish jig composed by a guy called Brian Finnegan, a whistle player from Armagh. So it kind of has the full gamut of the traditions there.
Well, of course, not only do you have the traditional Irish sound, which, as you said, you've traced to the roots, the band also has on this album Roots of the Banjo Tree, which is just phenomenal. I just got my hands on it this morning, folks, as I'm talking to Martin of We Banjo 3, and I've played it and played it and skipped around and played different bits of it. And it's a phenomenal instrumental effort. But you also do a little bit of vocals throughout the album. You have some people, so many guests on this thing. My gosh, Martin, how'd you line up all these people?
Friends. I mean, I suppose when we started the album, we had ideas to kind of bring in different people and get them to do little bits and pieces. So Dave, my brother, is our vocalist in the band, and he's the man behind that lovely voice you hear on the album. And you wouldn't believe, but he's 22. He looks about 14, and he sounds like he's about 40, and he's got a big soul voice. So we had Louise Holden from the band I Draw Slow join us for two tracks. And that was wonderful. They're a brilliant band from Ireland. I know that you're a fan of their music.
I'm a huge fan. I met them and saw them at Grey Fox Bluegrass Festival, where I was broadcasting live, and my booth was right next to the merchandise. So as I hear this wonderful sound, I Draw Slow. You know, they come over to the merchandise booth, and I go talk to them, interact with Louise, and I have every show since Grey Fox I've played something from I Draw Slow, and then as I'm listening, I recognize her voice. She has such a strong, distinctive voice,
yeah,
I think, and that's a great
she's
sound.
She's a great voice. And then we had a couple of guys that we know for years on one or two tracks. So one of the tracks on the album is called Time to Time, and it's probably the only slower written specifically for the banjo in the Irish tradition, and a guy called Jerry O'Connor recorded an album about 20 years ago now, which was the start of a huge movement in banjo playing in Ireland. Banjo's become really popular in Ireland. I mean, it's passed out an awful lot of the Irish traditional instruments in terms of popularity, and it's just undergoing an explosion.
Why is that?
Kind of like
Why
everywhere.
Is that, do you think? Why is that?
The banjo is really sexy, I think. That's probably the reason. I don't know.
Okay, we'll go with that. Since I'm sitting right next to my... I have a five-string on the stand. I'm going to go with the sexy part that Martin
yeah,
has.
Okay. Yeah, let's go with that, yeah. No, I think the likes of Mumford & Sons and those big folk groups that are playing banjos and bringing them back into fashion, that's been a huge thing.
Sure.
And, definitely over in Ireland, it's just been... We've been completely surprised by the amount of young kids that are coming to shows, and they're great pickers, and they're really interested in all the Irish music and the bluegrass music. So, there's loads of banjo going on in Ireland right now.
Now, before we went on the air, folks, I told Martin that just for fun, in the first half hour of the show today, I put in a Wee Banjo 3 tune, well, one we were just talking about, the Bill Cheatham medley with the other older tunes attached to it, right in between Bela Fleck and Alison Brown and Charlie Cushman. And I reminded folks, now, what you're hearing is great playing on all four counts, by far. But the triplets that burn from Bela's banjo and Charlie Cushman and Alison Brown, who I just adore all those people, they're using three picks and five strings. When you hear the banjo that comes through Wee Banjo 3, you have one pick, correct?
Yeah, well, we always joke that it takes three of us to sound like one of them, you know. It's a little bit more... difficult to mimic the bluegrass sound with just one pick, but
Wait. This, and you're missing my point, because the speed, and of course speed kills. I mean, that's a joke to me, but you know, it's not about speed; it's all about taste. But when you guys are really moving and flying, the triplets that are coming off, I want everyone to recognize it's coming from, you know, one pick and a lot of times one string, and just the speed and the cleanness that you guys play with is just phenomenal. When you compare it to someone who has five strings and three picks on their right hand.
Thanks very much, Keith. That's great. That's a great compliment. I'm slightly worried that we appeared alongside Bela Fleck and Alison Brown. They're great, great musicians, and we've been admirers of their music for a long, long time. We got to play with Alison in Nashville.
Oh, she's wonderful.
A couple of years back. Brilliant musician, and just such a lovely approach to music is great. We picked a couple of Irish tunes and a couple of bluegrass tunes, and our jaws were hitting the floor.
she's been on this show, and I've just loved her music since forever, and she does jazz. She has a regular jazz quartet that she plays with, and kind of some more South American rhythms, and then she can play straight ahead jazz. But the approach she brings to the band, you guys, that must have been a blast for her and you also.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. We love catching up with bluegrass musicians, and I mean, any type of musician that's just going to have something different and something new to bring, that's what it's all about, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just playing and enjoying it.
Yeah, well, You are. All right. Tell me a little bit about, and I'll get off of this topic about tracing the roots of the banjo, but obviously you've done what a lot of bluegrass musicians have done is trace that banjo origin back to Africa, and just do a short synopsis for me to get it back to where Ireland is. And then I'm going to ask you some few more questions about that. How did you find this out?
Yeah. I mean, I suppose, we'd all traveled in different bands for a couple of years, and we just started to notice these connections that the banjo have. And I suppose for us, the interesting one is that the banjo kind of came from Africa as a rhythm instrument, and the first time it met Irish music was in the West Indies as Irish slaves. And, we always kind of associate slavery with the Africans, but there was an awful lot of Irish slaves. I mean, probably, they were rebelling against the crown or whatever else reasons they were deported and sent to work in the West Indies. So that was the first time it met the Irish fiddle. And then, obviously, yourself, it traveled into America and became a real strong hold of American music. I mean, the banjo is an icon for us in America. When we heard the banjo when we were young, you think straight away of the great American pickers like Earl Scruggs and these guys. And so then the banjo met Irish music, I guess, for the first time when it traveled over with the minstrels, which were these white people who painted their faces black and travel the world mimicking the African music. And what's interesting is an awful lot of the minstrel musicians were actually Irish. Over 80% of the minstrel musicians were actually Irish.
Is that right?
So a guy called Dan Emmett was the first guy to bring the banjo to Ireland back in the 1850s, and he traveled with his minstrel group. And it's actually interesting, we play one of the tracks we play on the album is a Dan Emmett tune. So it's kind of that full circle thing for us that the music is so well linked by the banjo. And then, of course, when you've got the Irish immigrants coming over to America and settling, they met with all of these, that hot pot of melting cultures that occurred. And out of that, the old-time fiddling, up in the Appalachians and the Smoky Mountains and then obviously bluegrass, came out of that. So there's a huge, big connection between what we do and what modern bluegrass is.
Do you feel like as you're traveling around, and like you said, you just got a chance to play with Allison Brown, who's just tops. I mean, there's so many great players, and Allison is as good as anybody, inventive in her ideas. Do you feel like that you are incorporating or will incorporate ideas that you are absorbing here in America as you go back to Ireland?
Yeah, absolutely. We're hoping to record a new album in January. We've got a real busy schedule for next year thus far. But the plan is to go and record in January, and obviously we'll be bringing a lot of ideas from what we've from musicians that we met and played with. We'll be bringing that to the table. And just last night we got a chance to jam with Buddy Green and Jeff Taylor, and of course from Alison Krauss's band, the brilliant Ron Block.
Oh, Ron's phenomenal.
I was pretty incredible to sit down with those guys because they really know how to play music of any kind, and we were just blown away. We were just trying to keep up. But so those meetings and those playing with those people, of course, definitely follows what you're going to do. So, we have to sit down at the writing block now, but I think the second album's going to have a lot of influence from this tour for sure.
Will it be tunes that you've heard or styles that you've heard or all of those things combined as you go back to do your second album?
Yeah, I guess, we're fundamentally Irish musicians, and we're playing Irish music, and then there's all of the influences from bluegrass that come in, and then we tap into that bluegrass field and the standards, and then from old time, obviously, the great music there too. So we definitely will be kind of bringing both aspects, and then the vocally, there's some great songs we heard recently, and we're kind of looking at those and saying that might work for an album, this might work for an album. So we're writing more of our own material, so there'll be more of that in the second album, and then all of the stuff we've kind of learned from this tour will definitely play a feature in it.
Do you notice this difference that in a bluegrass jam as opposed to Irish musicians, and I'm guessing that not to be a stereotypical, but if there's a pub and there's kind of a lot of musicians playing bluegrass bands, they seem to, everybody kind of steps out. I don't mean physically, but they take solos apart from the band. Have I noticed,
sure.
Am I correct that in Irish bands, there's not so much you take a break, then I take a break. And I mean, it's a whole different dynamic, isn't it? Am I right on that?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's more imagine playing. So, I mean, when we play, we play in unison, like, so a lot of the tunes will be tight melody, intricate melodies played very much in the same vein. There'll be variations around that, but all the musicians are playing the same thing at the same time.
Right.
And that's the big difference between the bluegrass and the Irish. And then what we do is we tend to kind of mix that up between playing all at the same time and then kind of taking a turn where we'll take some solos and play around with that idea too. So that's relatively new for us in the last couple of years. We just started kind of delving into that. But yeah, it's definitely a good one.
Well, that's what I would figure would be the biggest difference. And if you just tuned in, we're talking to Martin Howley from We. Is that how you say it, Howley?
Martin Howley from We Land of Three.
There you
right,
go.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure I was saying Howley correctly. And if most of the people out there listening would be instantly familiar with the Chieftains, okay, and then you see this large band and they just, and if you're a bluegrass, you're thinking, when's somebody going to take a break? And they seem to all like this unison playing. Now, there's variations, as you say, throughout the line. And
yeah.
Different people play different things, but nobody's going to, in a bluegrass band, everybody can kind of stop and then the banjo takes a break. Or Ron Block, who's a phenomenal player, has such a unique style. You know, when it's time in Alison Krauss's band for him, you know, they all sort of take a back seat and just keep the rhythm going and he plays. And that to me was the most obvious thing. And I would think that would be the most, not shocking, but as you're coming to America and you're meeting great bluegrass players, all of a sudden they want to take a break on their own and kind of do a solo away from this unison sound, which kind of must be a little disconcerting at first.
It's a little daunting when you're soloing and then the next person to solo is someone like Buddy Green or Ron Block for sure. But, no, I mean, the thing is, I guess, is that...
Well, there he was lost. We'll try this again. See, Martin, we lost you again. I'll wait for you for a second. I knew that was going to happen. I talked to him about the possibility of that occurring. There was a dead spot. He's in Louisville now, and he's traveling to Cincinnati. There's a dead spot on the cell towers. Doesn't matter what service you've got. It's going to lose you somewhere around Louisville. So if we get him back, we'll bring him back on. But in between there, we will play some more great music. So thanks so much for Martin to call in. And that's difficult to do when you're on the road. And I had a feeling between here and Nashville he would hit that dead spot. And I believe he has. When he calls back in, we'll put him back on. But in between there, let's play this another tune from We Three Banjo while we're waiting. And if we don't catch him back, I'll catch him tonight. And if I don't get him back tonight because of that dip in the road, I think we'll get aside for a minute and just do a little bit of follow-up and record an interview with him and get it back on. But for now, let's play from We Banjo 3, their new album, New to Me, Roots of the Banjo Tree, and this will be Tie Me Down.
Hello, I'm back again.
He's back again. Here's what happened. Is where I wanted to be so exotic and say you were in that dead man's zone where the cells died. His phone died. His battery died. So he called me back via Ireland. We are now zipping around the world, and Martin wanted to come back and say goodbye, and I will tell everyone you're going to be at the Irish Heritage Center in Cincinnati tonight at 8 o'clock. I think the show is close to sold out, but
yeah, it's been selling really well.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. I'll be there. I'll talk to you then. But Martin, is there anything else you want to say before we let you go, before this phone dies?
Well, no, just to thank your listeners for listening to our music, and that hopefully, if they ever take a trip to Ireland, they'll look us up, and we'll be back in the States next March again, traveling around, and back in the summer again. So just to catch, we're on Facebook, and we're on Twitter is We Banjo 3. We're on, the website is www.webanjo3.com.
There you go.
And if anyone wants to buy the album, it's available on iTunes, on CD Baby, and of course it's available on our website. If you want a hard copy, we can send that. You can sign them up and send them off anywhere in worldwide. So we'd be happy to do that.
Well, I guarantee you, Martin, that they're going to hear a lot of it on this program from this point forward. I guarantee it.
Well, thank you so much, and it's great to we've been fans of all of the bluegrass music, and we had listened to your show from podcast earlier in the week, and we were blown away by the great music that's there. So we found loads of new artists that we're going to have to go and study up and try and figure out what they're doing. So yeah, it's exciting times for us.
Oh.
Hopefully we'll be back through your neck of the woods next summer, and we can catch up and maybe pick a jam. And I'll see you tonight anyway, and we'll
absolutely catch up. I'll see you tonight, and we'll chat a little bit and just follow up on some loose ends. And I'm looking forward to a great show at the Irish Heritage Center tonight with We Banjo 3. It's going to be a blast, man. I can just feel it. It's going to be a great show.
Great. All right. Good to hear. Okay. Thanks so much.
All right. We'll talk to you later then.
All right.
All right. Bye now. That was nice. That call came in from Ireland, so he looped around the world to get back in to call in. He said he didn't want to leave everybody hanging, and his battery died. I thought it was much more mystical than that, that somehow he'd gotten in a dip in the cell towers. So nice guy, We Banjo 3. You're going to hear a lot of their music on this show in the next couple of weeks. I love this new album. The banjo playing with the four string is intriguing. I mean, I've heard it before, and you have too if you listen to Irish music, which is a direct, antecedent to what we're listening to in bluegrass. But these guys are so good at what they do, and I just got a feeling they're going to explode on the scene. They're going to take everything that they've gathered from their tour in America. They're going to pick up more ideas and more concepts, and as he mentioned, he's going to go back to the writer's block, and it's going to be good. This is going to be a good result. This is all going to be a good thing for We Banjo 3 and all of us too, who will have a chance to listen to it. You are still listening to Steve Martin's Unreal Bluegrass on Worldwide Bluegrass. Thanks so much to Martin Halley from We Banjo 3. I guarantee you I will see you guys tonight.